Welcome back. Let's run the news for the week of June 26th through July 3rd. Straight from the Claude code changelog, 4 releases landed, and the headline is a whole new brain under the hood. Version 2.1.97, shipped June 30th, makes Claude Sonnet 5 the default model in Claude code. This is the big one. Sonnet 5 ships with a native 1 million token context window, not a beta flag you have to trip and promotional pricing of $2 per million input tokens and $10 per million output tokens, running through August 31st. TechCrunch framed it as a mid-size model with large gains over Sonnet 4.6 on multi-step reasoning, tool use, coding, and agentic workflows run end-to-end. Why do you care? It's your new default. It shows up in the slash model menu, and that promo price genuinely changes the math on parallel and background runs, which is exactly what today's tutorial is about. Update to 197 or later. One caveat worth naming. Some third-party trackers date Sonnet 5 to July 1st and offset the version numbers by 1. The doc's changelog is authoritative, so it's June 30th, version 197. Version 198, July 1st, is a fleet release through and through. Subagents now run in the background by default, so Claude keeps working while they run and pings you when they finish. Background agents launched from the agent's command now commit, push, and open a draft pull request when they finish code work in a work tree instead of stopping to ask. Those sessions fire the notification hook with agent needs input and agent completed events, which is real wiring for the observability we're about to build. The built-in Explore agent now inherits your main sessions model, capped at Opus. Instead of running on Haiku, Claude in Chrome went generally available. There's a new Dataviz skill for chart and dashboard design with a runnable color palette validator. And the old agent's wizard is gone. You manage subagents now by asking Claude or editing the agent's directory directly. Version 199, July 2nd, is about not falling over at scale. You can now stack slash skills, so calling skill A, then skill B, then do XYZ loads up to 5 leading skills at once. The retry watchdog raises the default retry count for transient errors to 300 and lifts the old cap on max retries. And a pile of fleet reliability bugs got squashed, a Linux daemon that killed every running agent every 50 seconds after an unclean shutdown, a stop command silently undone by a respawn race, and subagents that reported usage limit errors as successful results. That last one matters a lot if you plan to trust your dashboards. Finally, version 196, June 29th, added organization default models set in the console, a streaming idle watchdog on by default that aborts and retries after 5 minutes of silence, and durable background sessions that survive the process being stopped, restarted, or update, and let's talk observability. Okay, by now across this arc, you've built a small machine, you've got parallel sessions running in Git work trees, you've got the orchestrator pattern, a lead agent dispatching waves of subagents, you've got headless runs driving Claude-P and the agent SDK, you've got the Claude code GitHub action, the at Claude one with auto pull request workflows and label-driven implement runs. And you wrapped all of it in autonomous run safety and blast radius engineering sandboxing, prompt injection defense, audit logs, IAM and OIDC, and branch protection. Here's the honest problem with everything we've built. You have a fleet now, and you can't see it. 5, 10, 20 agents burning tokens across work trees and CI jobs, and no single pane of glass telling you which one is stuck, which one is looping, and which one just quietly spent $9. Today, we fix that. Today, we build the data faucet, the dashboard, and the alarm, and I'll show you the one pitfall that turns your shiny observability stack into a liability. Let's start with the faucet, because Claude Code ships one for free. There's native OpenTelemetry support built right into the tool. OpenTelemetry, OTL for short, is the vendor-neutral standard for emitting metrics, logs, and traces, and Claude Code speaks it out of the box. It's opt-in, and the master switch is a single environment variable. Claude Code enable telemetry, set to 1. Flip that, and Claude Code starts emitting 3 kinds of signal. Metrics, which are numeric counters and gauges. Structured log events, which are timestamped records with attributes, and behind a second beta flag trace spans, which show causality, what caused what. The reference for all of this is the monitoring page in the Claude Code docs, the monitoring usage page. Read it once end to end. It's the source of truth for every name I'm about to say. Once telemetry is on, you tell Claude Code where to send each signal type with 3 exporter variables. There's the metrics exporter, which accepts console, OTLP, Prometheus, or none. There's the logs exporter, which accepts console OTLP or none. And there's the traces exporter, console OTLP or none. Console just prints to your terminal, which is great for a first smoke test. You literally see the metric scroll by. The OTLP value means ship it over the OpenTelemetry protocol to a collector, which is what you want in production. So for a real setup, you'd set the metrics exporter and the logs exporter both to OTLP. Traces are special, and they're where the orchestrator finally becomes visible. To get the enhanced tracing beta, you set two flags together, Claude code enable telemetry equals 1, and Claude code enhanced telemetry beta equals 1, and then you point the traces exporter at OTLP. What you get is a tree. Every user prompt becomes a root span named claudecode.interaction. Underneath it hang child spans, claudecode.llm request for each API call, and claudecode.tool for each tool execution, which itself has subspans, one called tool.blocked_on_user for the time spent waiting on your approval, and one called tool.execution for the actual work. There's also a claudecode.hook span, so a single prompt links cleanly to every API request and every tool run it triggered. Hold on to that tree, it's the backbone of sub-agent attribution later. Now, where does the data physically go on the wire? That's the OTLP endpoint configuration. The protocol variable, OTLP protocol, takes drapc.http/json or http/protobuf. The endpoint variable, OTLP endpoint, defaults to localhost port 4317, which is the gRPC port. If you switch to HTTP, the conventional port is 4318. And the headers variable, OTLP headers, is how you authenticate, typically something like authorization equals bearer, then your token. There are signal-specific overrides too, so you can send metrics to one endpoint and logs to another using the per-signal endpoint variables. And for mutual TLS setups, there are certificate variables, node extra CA, certs, and a client cert variable among them, so you can present a client certificate to a lockdown collector. Two more knobs before we talk about what's actually in the stream: export intervals and temporality. The metric export interval defaults to 60,000 milliseconds. So once a minute, the logs export interval defaults to 5,000 milliseconds. So every 5 seconds, because you want events to feel near real time, and temporality, there's a metrics temporality preference variable that takes delta or cumulative. This one bites people. Prometheus wants cumulative, so if you're feeding Prometheus and your counters look wrong, check that you set cumulative. Here's the part to actually memorize the metrics Claude code emits by exact name. Because your dashboard queries these strings, there's claudecode.session.count, the number of sessions started. There's claudecode.linesofcode.count, lines modified with an attribute marking added versus removed. There's claudecode.pullrequest.count and claudecode.commit.count, PRs and commits created. There's claudecode.cost.usage, measured in US dollars, the estimated session cost. There's claudecode.token.usage, measured in tokens, with a type attribute that splits input, output, cache read, and cache creation, which matters because cache tokens are cheap and you want to see your cache hit rate. There's claudecode.codeedittool.decision, which records accept or reject on proposed edits. And there's one you should fall in love with: claudecode.activetime.total, measured in seconds of genuinely active time, distinct from wall clock time. That gap between active time and wall clock is your single best stall detector, and we'll come back to it hard. Every one of those metrics and events carries a standard set of attributes, and these are the labels you'll group and filter by: session ID, app version, app entry point, which tells you how the session was launched, values like sleest, dk, sleest, dks, ts, sdkpy, or Claude VS Code, so you can separate your interactive work from your headless fleet in one query. Organization ID, user account, UUID, user ID, user email, populated on OAuth sessions. And terminal type, on top of those, you can attach any custom attributes you want with the resource attributes variable, a comma-separated list of key equals value pairs. Remember that one? It's the whole trick for the fleet angle, because attributes are labels, and labels have cost. Claude code gives you cardinality controls, and it ships sane defaults. including session ID and metrics, is on by default, including version is off by default, including account UUID is on by default, including entry point is off by default. Cardinality just means how many distinct values a label can take. Session ID has effectively unlimited distinct values, which is powerful for attribution but expensive in a metrics database, so keep that trade-off in the back of your mind. We'll pay that bill in the pitfall section. Now, the log events, which are richer than metrics because they carry context, the big one is claude_code.userprompt, with attributes for prompt length, the prompt text itself, which is gated behind a flag, and a command name. There's claude_code.api request, and this event is a goldmine. Model, cost in USD, duration in milliseconds, input tokens, output tokens, cache read tokens, cache creation tokens, a request ID, an effort attribute, and a field called query source. Query source is the magic word. Its value is replay main thread for your foreground work, or compact for context compaction, or the name of a subagent when the work came from one. There's claude_code.api error with a status code and an attempt number. There's claude_code.api retries exhausted, which fires when Claude gave up after all its retries. There's claude_code.toolresult with the tool name, whether it succeeded, and a duration. There's claude_code.tooldecision. And there's claude_code.compaction with a trigger that's either auto or manual, plus pre-tokens and post-tokens showing how much context got squeezed out. Here's why query source matters so much for people running the orchestrator pattern. Query source combined with two span attributes on the LLM request span, agent ID and parent agent ID, lets you attribute spend to a specific subagent. That's the thing you couldn't do before. When the orchestrator we built dispatches a wave of children, each child's API cost now carries its own identity. You can finally answer which of my subagents is expensive, not just my session cost this much. One more thing on the collection side for teams. Enterprise admins don't have to beg every developer to set these variables. Admins can force the telemetry configuration for all users through Manage Settings, the Manage Settings JSONs file, so an entire fleet ships to one central collector without anybody opting in individually. And a genuinely important privacy fact, your file contents and your code are not in these metrics or events. The only way response text ever leaves is if you explicitly enable prompt logging. And even then, it goes only to your own OTL endpoint, never back to Anthropic. Here's something most people never connect. The hours you spend sitting while you listen are the easiest hours to reclaim. Slide a walking pad under your desk, and that same time starts working for your body instead of against it. No gym, no willpower, no change to your day except that you're finally moving. Walkers report a clearer head, a better mood, an energy that outlasts the afternoon slump. I keep a current ranking of the walking pad models that actually hold up at ocdevel.com/steps. Hold that thought, because the pitfall is going to complicate it. So that's the faucet. Now, where does the water land? Let's talk about the canonical pipeline, because there's a well-worn path here and you shouldn't reinvent it. The flow is Claude. Code emits OTLP that flows into an OpenTelemetry collector, which listens for OTLP in on port 4317 for gRPC and 4318 for HTTP. The collector fans the signals out. Metrics go to Prometheus, events go to Loki, and Grafana sits on top querying both. That's the whole shape. Collector in the middle, Prometheus and Loki as stores, Grafana as the face. You don't have to wire that by hand either. There's a reference community stack, Cole Murray's Claude Code OTEL project on GitHub. It's a Docker compose that stands up the OTEL collector, Prometheus on port 9090, Loki on port 3100, and Grafana on port 3000, all pre-wired, and it ships a Grafana dashboard with 6 sections, which is a nice tour of what's even worth showing. Section 1. Overview. Active sessions, aggregate cost, tokens, code modifications. Section 2. Cost and usage, per model spend, token breakdown by type, API request counts. Section 3, tool usage and performance, tool adoption and success percentages. Section 4, performance and errors, latency and error rate. Section 5, user activity and productivity, lines of code, commits, pull requests, and Section 6. Event logs, live tool events, and API errors streaming by every panel in there queries the exact metric names I read you a minute ago, which is why the names are worth knowing. The dashboard is just SQL-ish queries against those strings. Grafana and Prometheus are the open source default, but they're not your only target, because Claude Code speaks plain OTLP. Any first-class OpenTelemetry backend works. Signos, Honeycomb, Datadog, New Relic, Elastic, or a self-hosted Grafana paired with Victoria Metrics if you want a leaner metric store. There's also a drop-in wrapper alternative called Claude Telemetry by Technic AI, which swaps the Claude command for one called Claudia and logs to Logfire, Sentry, Honeycomb, or Datadog if you'd rather not manage a collector at all. And Anthropic's own docs list partner turnkey dashboards, the ones where you basically paste a token and go Grafana Cloud, Datadog, Honeycomb, Cloud Zero, and Vantage. Pick your poison, the emitter side doesn't change. Now let's get specific about cost, because OTEL is general purpose and Claude Code also gives you cost tools that are purpose-built. The first is the /cost command. Interactive, right inside a session, it prints total cost in US dollars, total API duration, wall clock duration, code changes, and usage broken down by model. There's a wrinkle depending on how you pay. For API key users, /cost shows the full dollar breakdown. For subscription users, Pro or Max, the dollar figure is effectively hidden. It reminds you that your cost isn't per token under a subscription, but it still shows you token counts. The habit to build /run/cost during a long refactor or a max effort session, right when you suspect the meter's running hot. The reference is the manage cost page in the docs. The second cost tool is CC usage, and yes, this is the community CLI, not part of the news. It lives here in the tutorial. It's MIT licensed, around 16,800 stars, by the developer Ryo Pippi. The lovely thing about CC usage is it needs no API key at all. It parses your local session logs. You run it with npx CC usage at latest or bunkx CC usage if you're on bun. Its data source is the session JSONL files under your Claude projects directory, and it respects the Claude config directory variable if you've moved that. Costs are estimated from LightLM's pricing database. The commands are daily, weekly, monthly, and session for those rollups. There's a blocks command that reports against Claude's 5-hour billing windows, there's a status line command, and there's an MCP command. The flags that matter, JSON for machine output, breakdown for per model splits, since and until for date ranges, and the fleet relevant pair instances and project, which group usage by workspace. And the one to demo live CC usage blocks, --live, gives you a real-time dashboard showing your active session's progress, your token burn rate, and a projected cost for the current 5-hour window. Same caveat as /cost, though. Max and Pro users see the would-be API cost, what it would have cost pay per token, not the actual amount billed against your subscription. The third cost surface is for org admins, and it's programmatic, the Anthropic console plus the admin usage and cost API. This one requires an admin API key, the kind with the skant admin prefix, and only an org admin can mint one. Individual accounts can't. There are two report endpoints. The usage report at the organization's usage report messages path takes a start time, an end time, a bucket width of 1 minute, 1 hour, or 1 day, and a group by that accepts model, workspace ID, API key ID, or service tier. And the cost report at the organization's cost report path is daily granularity only, grouped by workspace ID or by description, returning amounts as US dollar decimal strings. Data freshness on both is about 5 minutes, but for our purposes, the one to reach for is the dedicated Claude Code Analytics API at the organization's usage report Claude Code path. This is per user, and per day, one record equals one user's Claude Code activity for 1 day. Each record returns sessions, lines of code, commits, pull requests, tool usage, and per user token counts with estimated cost broken out by model. It's free with admin API access, and it only returns data older than 1 hour. Anthropic explicitly recommends this endpoint over trying to split cost across many API keys. And there's a reason for that recommendation that lands squarely in our pitfall later. And one clarifying fact people always ask, headless runs cost exactly the same per token as interactive ones. Headless doesn't change pricing, it just means you're the one scraping the cost number instead of reading it off a screen. Which brings us to the cheapest telemetry of all, the logs your headless and programmatic runs already produce. When you run Claude-P with a prompt and add output format JSON, headless print mode, you get back a structured blob. It carries a type and subtype, the total cost in USD, an isError flag, a duration in milliseconds, a separate API duration, the number of turns, the result text, a session ID, and a usage object with input tokens, output tokens, cache read input tokens, and cache creation input tokens. If you want it live instead of at the end, use output format stream JSONs, which emits new line delimited events you can tail as they happen. The fleet pattern writes itself. Every cron run, every CI run, pipes that JSON through JQ, plucks out total cost, number of turns, duration, and session ID, and ships those four values as a metric or a log line. And here's the robustness detail. Every result subtype carries total cost, usage, number of turns, and session ID, even the error ones, so you can attribute spend and even resume a session that failed. For unattended runs, two cost control flags are your seatbelts, and they tie straight back to the safety episodes. The max turns flag is a hard cap on agentic tool use turns, and it is the single most important runaway guard you have. Note, it counts tool use turns only, not conversational, back and forth. And the max budget USD flag caps the dollar spend for the run outright. These are the same guards from the autonomous run safety and blast radius episodes, except now we're going to make them observable instead of just protective. Also worth knowing, the session JSON-L under your Claude projects directory in the per project hash folders is the exact same substrate CC usage reads, so a fleet can collect and batch parse those files centrally, and your GitHub actions run logs plus uploaded artifacts are a completely legitimate telemetry source. The auto pull request and label-driven workflows from earlier episodes can echo that cost JSON into the job summary or upload it as an artifact for later harvest. Now let's assemble the fleet angle, because this is the payoff aggregating across parallel agents, work trees, and CI runs. Session ID is a standard attribute on by default, but the real move is injecting your own tags with the resource attributes variable. Picture a work tree working on an auth refactor. Right before you launch the agent, you export resource attributes set to something like work tree equals auth refactor, branch equals whatever git branch dash dash, show current returns, issue equals 1234, agent equals orchestrator child 3. Now, every metric and event from that session carries those four labels, and a Grafana or Prometheus panel can group claudecode.token.usage and claudecode.cost.usage by worktree or by branch or by agent, and suddenly you're looking at per agent token burn across your whole fleet, sliced however you tagged it. And remember, sub-agent level attribution is even richer in traces native through agent name, agent ID, parent agent ID, and query source. So between resource attribute tags on the metric side and those span attributes on the trace side, the orchestrator's children are finally individually visible. Stall detection is where this all earns its keep, so let me make it concrete. The tell is claudecode.activetime.total versus wall clock time. If wall time keeps climbing but active time flatlines, the agent is stuck, plain and simple, sitting there consuming a session slot and producing nothing. In headless JSON, the equivalent signal is the number of turns spiking or hitting your max turns cap, together with a rising duration and no pull request or commit coming out the other end. That pattern, lots of turns, growing time, zero output, is a looping agent. There's even a known hang bug where an agent stops producing output and never returns control. Tracked as issue 28482 in the Anthropic's Claude code repo, and the way you catch it is exactly this. Alert when a session is open, but active time isn't increasing. And the compaction event with its pre-tokens and post-tokens reveals context thrash, an agent compacting over and over because it keeps blowing its context window. For runaway spend specifically, you set alarms in Grafana, you alert on the sum of the rate of claudecode.cost.usage over a one-hour window per team and fire when it crosses budget. Or you push the whole thing into AWS budgets and CloudWatch alarms. The AWS blog on this gives two concrete, copyable alarm ideas. Fire when a single user's hourly spend exceeds twice their own daily average, which catches an individual gone rogue, and fire when a team's daily spend exceeds a defined budget. With $500 a day, as the worked example, those two alarms alone will catch most disasters before they finish happening. Now the pitfall, and this is a two-faced one, so stay with me because both faces cut. The sharpest edge is a content leak through opt-in log flags by default. And this is the safe default Claude Code records only prompt length, a number, and never ships the prompt text. But there's a flag, log user prompts set to 1, that ships the full prompt text to your observability backend, and there are siblings, a log tool details flag that ships tool names and arguments, the full bash command strings and file paths, plus raw API body logging that captures even more. The moment you turn any of those on, your Grafana, your Loki, your Datadog starts storing messy raw prompts, internal URLs, partial credentials, somebody pasted by accident, and vulnerability descriptions. Exactly the sensitive stuff flagged by Elastic Security Labs and by General Analysis. Here's how you recognize whether you've already done this to yourself. Search your logs backend for claudecode.userpromptrecords and check whether the prompt attribute is populated, not just prompt length. If the prompt field has text in it, you're storing content, full stop. The mitigation is two-part. Keep those flags off. That's the default, and you should respect it. And if you need any of them on, use the OpenTelemetry collector as your redaction control point. The collector has attributes and transform processors that can strip the prompt field and the user email field before anything fans out to storage. One choke point, one redaction rule, applied to every agent at once. The second face of that same pitfall is the tension between cardinality, PII, and attribution. And it's a genuine trilemma. You can't have all three cheaply. User email gets emitted on OAuth sessions, and it's both personally identifiable information and a high cardinality label that can inflate your metrics bill. Session ID on by default is high cardinality by its very nature. So the tempting move is to turn those off, save money, dodge the PII exposure. But the instant you turn them off, you lose per developer and per session attribution, the exact thing you built this system to get. That's the trade, and you have to make it deliberately, not by accident. And there's a classic fleet trap hiding right next to it. The one Anthropic was steering you around when it recommended the per-user analytics API. When many parallel agents and work trees all share one API key, your per-session cost attribution is simply wrong. The usage and cost API groups spend by API key ID and by workspace ID. So a single shared key collapses every work tree's spend into one bucket. And when the bill spikes, you cannot tell which work tree burned it. Two fixes. Either give each agent or work tree its own API key or its own workspace. So the billing dimension itself carries the identity. Or tag your OTel resource attributes per launch, the work tree and branch and agent tagging we did earlier. So the dashboard carries attribution even though the billing key doesn't. Pick one, but pick one, because a shared key with no tags means your beautiful dashboard is lying to you about where the money went. Let me close with the concrete AWS example, because it makes the whole thing real, and it happens to answer, is all this observability going to cost me a fortune? You can ship OTLP straight to CloudWatch with no 8OT sidecar at all using a bearer token. The setup is 6 exports, enable telemetry, set the metrics exporter to OTLP. Set the protocol to http/json. Set the endpoint to the CloudWatch monitoring URL for your AWS region. Set the headers to authorization, bearer, your token. And set resource attributes to tag the user ID from Huami and a team ID. That bearer token is a CloudWatch metrics API key, and it ties to an IAM user carrying the CloudWatch API key access managed policy, which is what lets a tool outside AWS push metrics without pulling in the whole AWS SDK. If you'd rather use gRPC, the alternative is running an ADOT collector as a sidecar. Either way works. And here's the number that should set your mind at ease. The AWS blog estimates that for 200 developers at roughly 20 sessions a day across 7 metrics, the telemetry ingestion itself costs about 14 cents a month. 14 cents. It stays under $15 a month, even at 100 times that volume. So fleet observability is effectively free. The spend you're watching for is the agents, never the dashboard. Contrast that with the thing you're actually hunting. A single max effort Opus refactor session can run several dollars on its own, and a looping headless agent that hits your max turns cap at 40 turns instead of the 6 you expected. That is precisely where the max budget USD flag earns its whole keep. So tie it back to the arc, and you'll see we didn't build anything new so much as light up what we already had. The collector redaction point extends the cost and rate limit engineering episode. The max turns and max budget USD flags are the autonomous run safety and blast radius guards from before, now made observable instead of merely defensive. Persub agent attribution through query source and the agent ID span attributes is how you finally see the orchestrator's children as individuals. And the headless JSON scrape is the telemetry tap for every GitHub action and cron run in your pipeline. You had a fleet. Now you can see it and you can put a price tag on every agent in it. Next time, we start pointing that fleet at harder targets. See you then. This episode was made with OC Devel Podcaster. You can turn anything into a podcast, a link, a document, or even a description of a topic you're curious about. And Podcaster researches and narrates it for you. Start your own at ocdevel.com/podcaster.